Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Inside the GMHL podcast. I'm your host, JR, and once again, thank you for listening. We are now into the 2023 portion of the GMHL season. We are 1 week away from the All-Star break. We are a couple months away from playoffs, a few months away from the national championship, and things are really starting to take shape now. We got the trade deadline coming up, but this podcast is going to be focusing on the upcoming All-Star game and just kind of some things that have transpired over the last few weeks since I last spoke right after the showcase. Starting off the podcast, we're going to take a gander over at those standings like we always do in the North Division. Bradford is pretty entrenched in first place, so they have 52 points in 28 games, so 3 more points than second place Ville-Marie with 2 games at hand, so a chance to add another 4. But this will be a big weekend for the Rattlers because they are heading to Quebec this weekend to play second place Ville-Marie and third place Temiskaming. Temiskaming, however, is not fully entrenched in that third place spot because Meaford has 6 games in hand on Temiskaming and only needs 3 points to jump into that third spot. So not only am I saying that it's possible that Meaford jumps into the third spot, I'm saying it's probable. I'm saying that Meaford is probably going to end up at some point in the next couple of weeks in the third place position in the North Division, following which you have South Muskoka and West Nip with 23 and 22 points. West Nip, however, does have games in hand on the Shield, and so there's a good chance that they're going to end up in that fifth spot. And then Bancroft with 13 points in 29 games down at the bottom of the North Division, also playing games against the South Division as well, so they kind of have to see the top of both divisions when it happens. In the South Division, we have a dogfight, an absolute slugfest. So let me paint you this picture of what the top of the South Division looks like. Currently, North York, 32 games, 54 points. Durham, 29 games, 48 points. So the exact same winning percentage, and could end up with the exact same amount of wins and points as North York should they win their next 3 games. Bradford Bulls, 47 points, 1 point behind Durham, also 29 games, so they could end up within 1 point of North York in first if they win their next 3 games. And so this is just a crazy wild finish that we're gearing up for our last 10 to 13 games, depending on the teams, to see who's going to actually end up as the South Division regular season champion. After that, we got St. George and Tottenham tied with 29 points apiece, but St. George has 2 more games in hand, and so there's a good chance that if they win one of those, they're going to keep on track for that fourth place finish in the South Division, hosting the majority of the games in a playoff series. After Tottenham, it is Northumberland and Niagara with 26 and 25 points. Niagara has 3 more games to play rather than Northumberland, and so they could also hop them. And then down at the bottom of the division is Windsor and Streetsville with 3 wins apiece. Windsor does have an overtime loss, so they do have that 7th point, while Streetsville has 6. And Windsor has 1 more game to play other than Streetsville. And then in the West, things have gotten a little bit interesting. So High Prairie now has 2 losses, both to the second place Northern Alberta Tomahawks. And so they do have the same amount of games played, both with 28, same with third place Edson. High Prairie's got 52 points, Northern Alberta has 43 points, and Edson has 39. And so in all likeliness, High Prairie is going to finish first in this West division. That being said, though, Northern Alberta's already gone out 2 times and beat them, not in overtime, in regulation, and said, hey, High Prairie, you guys are out here being the top of the division, not losing a game. Well, we've got something to say about that. After Edson is McKenzie, who's still undefeated at 10-0, Slave Lake with 19 points in 28 games, Kitimat with 16-12, Fox Creek with 14 points in 28 games, and then Burns Lake, Gibbons with 4 points each, and Tumbler Ridge at the bottom of the division, still only with those 4 games played. Next up, I just wanted to take a quick look over at the statistical leaders in the GMHL. And so obviously we're going to start off with the goal scoring leaders, and that would be Caden Cardinal, who's got 39 goals in just 13 games, so 3 goals per game for Caden Cardinal in the West Division. The leader in the South Division would be Ryan Fritz, who's second in the league with 37. And then the leader in the North Division is Jordan Riviere with 36 in the North Division for Ville-Marie. And so the top 3 goal scorers in the league are also 1 from each division. In the assist column, we have Ryan Fritz, who is second in goals, leading the league with 58 assists in 29 games. Second is Ryan Hunter with 45. Michael Beaverbones leads the West Division with 44. And then rounding out the top five are Joseph Leonti and Keegan Ferguson. For point totals, we almost have our first 100-point scorer of the season. So Ryan Fritz has 95 points in 29 games. He is leading the league and the South Division. Terrell Schott has 76 points in 27 games, leading the West Division. Ryan Hunter also has 76 points, as does Jordan Riviere. So they're all tied for second place. One from the West, another one from the South, and then Jordan Riviere from the North Division. And then rounding out the top five is Denis Golubatchev, who has 75 points. So he's one behind those three in third place in 29 games. And then just for game-winning goals, Ethan Manybears from High Prairie has 7. And then Jacob Rodine from the Rattlers has 6, along with Fritz. And Caden Cardinal and Keegan Ferguson both have 5 apiece. On the goaltending side of things, we have Oliver Balazs leading the league in wins for the Bradford Rattlers. He has 14 wins in his 16 games. Bradley Ronson and Nicholas Lewicki from High Prairie and North York both have 12 wins. And then Christopher Thompson and Emile Beausoleil from North York and Ville-Marie both have 11. That is the top 5 there. The goals against average and save percentage leaders. So you have to have a minimum 9 games to qualify for this. Durham is all over this leaderboard here. So for goals against average, they have the leader, Blake Torella. They also have third place, Zach Smirnoux, with 198 and 233. In between them is the North Division leader, Maxime Audette, who has a 218. Oliver Balazs has a 247. And then Christopher Thompson, that I mentioned, rounds out the top 5 with a 264. And then Smirnoux and Torella again are the top two in terms of save percentage, with a 931 and 925, then Balazs again with a 922, Lucas Navi from Northumberland with a 920, and then Thompson once again with a 918. And so this Durham stable of goaltenders is really something special. It reminds me of a 2014-2015 Kingsville Kings team that was absolutely stacked in net. They had a really good team around them and then built around these two talented goaltenders. One of them was Jan Pečík. Unreal goaltending happening in Durham right now. Take notice the rest of the league, because they say that, you know, championships are won from the crease out. So we're going to see if that holds true this season. And then for the save leaders, we have Tate Pratchek from the Flyers with 738. Yaroslav Shibanu from the Shield with 737. Justin Sheets from Windsor with 629. Eloi Bouchard with 617, and then Ryan Santini from the Predators with 574 saves. The GMHL in December also took the time to highlight one of their alumnus, that is Stepan Timofeyev. And so this one was a really special one for me to be able to take a look at when I saw that it had come out, because me and Timo were both with the Steam when we went 41-1 and won the championship, the Russell Cup. And so he came in 2015-2016 with our Tottenham team. We ended up going 41-1. Timo had 25 points in his 9 regular season games, but when it came to the playoffs, he was on fire. So he had 49 points in our 22 games. We went to Game 7 against Kingsville and won the championship. He was our playoff MVP, and then he ended up going to the Rattlers the following offseason when our staff from the Steam ended up going to the Civics. And so Timo went and was named captain of the Bradford Rattlers. He had 107 points. He was not only an all-star, but he was also the MVP of the regular season that year in the North Division. Wasn't able to make it past to the Titans in the playoffs that year, but he was one of the best players that I've had a chance to even be around in the GMHL. Then he went to the FHL, where he was with the Cornwall Nationals and the Port Huron Prowlers. He ended up going to Elmira after that, and he ended up winning one of the top forwards, and he was the Rookie of the Year. And he ended up getting some interest from the SPHL, where he would start to see time in 2019-2020. He was with the Macon Mayhem before he became a full-time player in the SP in last year, 21-22, with Knoxville. He scored at more than a point per game pace. He had 49 points in 26 games. I mean, almost 2 points per game. He finished fourth on his team, 17th in the league. And then he signed with Birmingham in the offseason. Birmingham was really excited to get him. He had 14 points in 18 games for the Bulls, but then he was being called up to the ECHL by the Norfolk Admirals. And so he appeared in the December 23rd game against the Reading Royals. He got 2 shots on goal and 2 penalty minutes. But this is just, you know, it's an unreal story of a player that came to the GMHL. You know, he put in the work. He was a very talented player. He worked his way up through the minor pro leagues in North America. And now he's seeing time, you know, in the ECHL, which is unreal. And Timo, I wish you nothing but the best, my man. And just an example of how hard work can get you where you want to go. To start off 2023, the GMHL named its Players of the Month, and so the Forward of the Month was Denis Golubatche from the Muskoka Shield. He was traded to the Shield from Tottenham at the end of November. He's had 3 points a game for Muskoka. In December, he played 6 games, scored a goal in every game. He had a hat trick against the St. George Ravens at the Showcase. His point total in December was 18, with 10 goals and 8 assists. But most importantly, Golubatche has helped his team to their first 3-game win streak of the season just before the holiday break. He scored 11 points in those 3 games. And on the season, like I said, he's fourth in the league in scoring, 75 points in 29 games, who came to the GMHL from the OHL, the OJHL, and the CACHL. The defenseman of the month was Caden Desjarlais from High Prairie. And so he's the league leader in scoring amongst defensemen. It's his second year in the league. He has 52 points in 26 games, so he's a 2-point-per-game defenseman. In December, Desjarlais had 7 of those points with a goal and 6 assists. He won last season's GMHL West Championship and showed his scoring touch last year as well. He had 65 points in 40 games, which had him 3rd among defensemen league-wise last season. And he's on pace to shatter that scoring record for a defenseman among High Prairie Red Wings. Goaltender of the month was Maxime Audet. So this was a one that people might not have thought of because Maxime Audet only played 2 games in December. But the 2 games he played, he beat the number 1 ranked team in the North Division, the Rattlers, and he beat the number 1 team in the South Division, the Renegades, at the Showcase. In those 2 games, he had a 2.88 GAA. He played 125 minutes because one of them went to overtime, the Rattlers game. He had the 2 wins on the season, and he's only 18 years old as of this past year. He's from Amos. He's 7-2-0. He has a .906 save percentage and a .245 goals against average, which is first in the division, and he has a 5th for save percentage in the division as well. And he developed with the Filan Or Edebois program after a year with the Amos Foresters. And then the rookie of the month, I already mentioned earlier when we were going through the statistics, Blake Tarala. And so even though he's just 16 years old, Tarala has answered the call for the Roadrunners time and time again. In December, he went 3-1. The only loss he had came to the Ville-Marie Pirates, who are 2nd in the North Division. He was twice named among the game's 3 stars, including the 1st star in the Pirates game that he ended up losing. And he was able to improve his season numbers at the time to 8-2-0 with a league-leading 2.08 goals against average and 2nd in the league save percentage to his own teammate, Zach Smirnoux, of 9-2-3. And before he came to the Roadrunners, Tarala played for the Oshawa Generals U16 AAA program. The GMHL also just recently released its January player power rankings. And so I'm going to go over some of the major changes that we had, especially in the North Division, where we have a new number 1 goalie and a new number 1 player in the division. So Maxime Audet from the Pirates was the 5th-ranked goalie last month, now number 1, followed by Balazs, who stayed at number 2, Shibanu, who was number 1 prior, Richardson and Bouchard. And then in the player department, we have Denis Golubatche, the player of the month, who has jumped from number 3 to number 1. He's followed by Jordan Riviere, who was number 1, Jesper Eriksson, who was number 2. Those are the top 3. Jordan Briere, also from the Ville-Marie Pirates, made an impact at the Showcase, and he jumped from 11, 6 spots, all the way to number 5. Previously unranked Georgi Trofimov, who joined the Rattlers a few weeks ago, comes in at number 12. Others making debuts are Tristan Sorensen of the Muskoka Shield and Felix Tugis of the Bancroft Rockhounds. In the South Division, we also have a new number 1 goalie, so Zach Smirnoux, who was number 3, is now number 1. Nicholas Lewicki, who was number 2, stays there. Dominic Marquise from the Bulls goes from number 1 and number 3. Christopher Thompson stays at number 4, and Blake Tarala stays at number 5. The top 4 players in the South Division did not change. Fritz, Hunter, Somersault, Leonti. But Kyle Smith from the Durham Roadrunners jumped from 7 to number 5. We also had Josh Booker from the Bradford Bulls jump from 14 to 10. And then we also had a trade bring the number 3 player in the West Division, Andras Kale, to the Niagara Predators, where he makes his debut in the South Division power rankings at number 15. And Nico Andriopoulos from the North York Renegades makes his debut at number 18. He was a strong defenseman at the showcase, and it's definitely showing in the power rankings. And so in the West Division, we have pretty much the same chalk for the goalies. In the player department, though, we have a player making his debut all the way at number 4. So this must have been an oversight of some sort, because Brian Joseph has been tearing it up for the Northern Alberta Tomahawks. He makes his debut at number 4. Jackson Krupa of the Kitimat Sacks makes the jump from number 12 to number 9. We also had Aiden O'Rourke of the Mackenzie Mountaineers, who was not ranked prior. He comes in at 16. And Kyler Hamlin of the Fox Creek Ice Kings, who was also previously unranked, he comes in at number 18. And now we are on to the main focus of this episode. And so we have the 2022-2023 GMHL All-Star Game coming up. It's going to be hosted by Bancroft at the North Hastings Community Center next Tuesday, which is the 17th of January. And so the games, there's going to be a U18 game, so 16 to 18 year olds, and then an over 18 game, so 19 to 21 year olds. It's going to be starting off, there's going to be a banquet style dinner, then we're going to be having the first game, which is the 16 to 18 year old game, a skills competition, and then they're going to be finishing the day featuring the league's best 19 to 21 year olds. The rosters are live now, but we just had this come across the wire. The GMHL has announced a special guest, and that is going to be Brady Leivold, so former WHL and professional player, and he founded Puck Support, and so he's at the forefront of ending the stigma related to mental health and substance misuse in the game of hockey, and using hockey as a vehicle, partnering with like-minded people and organizations, he's hoping to create lasting and impactful change. And just from seeing his stuff over the last couple of years, I can tell you for sure that he is. And so after he played, he decided to start Puck Support for everyone in the hockey community and decided to make it his life mission to do everything in his power to provide each individual with the education and resources to try and put an end to tragedies relating to mental health and substance misuse. And so Brady's going to be speaking during the lunch at the All-Star Game in Bancroft. Everyone's encouraged to come and listen to him speak of his initiative and his experience on Tuesday, January 17th. I'm going to be hoping to sit down with Brady at the actual showcase, record an interview, and just talk with him about his experiences not only in hockey, but also in life. And speaking of that All-Star Game in Bancroft, we are now going to be sending it over to an interview with Bancroft Rockhounds owner Nanda Eastman. Nanda is going to be talking about the All-Star Game, talking about what it's like to be involved in Bancroft with the Rockhounds as an owner, but also doing so much more for the team. So please help me welcome, without further ado, Bancroft Rockhounds owner Nanda Eastman. Next up on Inside the GMHL, we have Bancroft Rockhounds president and co-owner Nanda Eastman. How's it going today, Nanda?
Awesome.
Great to hear. It's been awesome having the opportunity to sit down and chat with you here at the showcase. You guys went 1-1, finishing with a big win over Streetsville just moments ago. Congratulations on that. What's the opinion on the GMHL showcase for you, as this is the first one that you've been a part of?
Yeah, it's been great. The boys have had fun. It's been a great opportunity to play against different teams, not in our division, so it's been a great opportunity.
Yeah, and you guys obviously had, you know, a close game yesterday. You know, you guys always come out and play hard. I've seen that, you know, being a part of the Rattlers organization. Mm-hmm. And then today you were finally able to put it all together, go out there and, you know, get the win, secure that W.
It's been great.
So you took over the Rockhounds with your husband Jamie in the second season of Bancroft, 2020-2021. How did you come to be familiar with the team? It's my understanding that your father-in-law, George, was the first GM of the Rockhounds in their season.
Yeah. So we started out as being emergency billets. Jamie started out helping in the change room a little bit. He had some experience with change rooms and how to handle the boys, and it just kind of developed into a passion of his, and we just kind of went to the league and said, hey, what do you think?
Hey, what are you guys doing with Bancroft?
What's going on with you guys next year?
And so what were like the moments leading up to the actual decision when you said, okay, we have a chance to do something special with Bancroft. I think that we can make really good owners for, you know, the players of the team and for the community.
The community, that was the big piece. We felt that the community needed some good hockey in town, and hockey is kind of dwindling out in Bancroft. We just thought if we could get it back in, we could get the younger players interested in playing hockey and even help out minor hockey by being a big part of the community and help just bringing the team back. And being local owners, I think, is a big part of bringing it back is, you know...
Yeah. You know, you're a part of the community, and, you know, you're presenting, you know, high-quality junior hockey back to the community.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, I've been to the North Hastings Center many times, and, you know, it fills up. You guys have a lot of fan support. I mean, how does it feel knowing that you own a team that, you know, the community really gets behind?
It's pretty surreal. We've lived there forever, and now it's, you know, I go to the grocery store and get stopped now, and, hey, are you guys playing tonight? And yeah, it's interesting.
Kind of like the superstars of Bancroft.
I don't like it, but yeah.
Now, owner and president, there's two of the hats you wear with the team, as you also act as the billet coordinator and the academic advisor. I mean, where do you find the time in the day to do it all and, you know, excel at it?
I don't know. It's always been my thing. I can juggle lots of hats. I wear lots of hats. It's, I don't know. It's just always been my gig.
Now, there's one more hat that I haven't mentioned, and that, of course, is mom. You know, not just a mother figure to the team, but also the actual mother of one of the defensemen and assistant captains, Jamie Eastman Jr. I mean, how much pride do you have seeing your son wear the jersey with your last name on the back and, you know, the community on the front?
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him. You know, he played AAA most of his life, and then he struggled a bit and kind of dropped down to some house league teams, and then he practiced with the boys back when it was not under our management, and, you know, he never thinks that he's good enough to be on the team. He never thinks he should be there, but we're proud of him, and he kicks ass.
Well, you know, from other management in the league to mom, I'll just say that he belongs out there. You know, I've watched many games, and, you know, he doesn't look out of place at all. You know, he excels when he's on the ice. And I've also seen you go above and beyond, you know, what some might do. You make homemade meals for the boys on the road trips. I've heard of you delivering hot soup to sick players on the team. I mean, what you do day in and day out is nothing short of amazing with Bancroft.
Thank you.
And now, one of the main reasons I wanted to chat with you guys is because it's been announced that Bancroft has been chosen to host this year's All-Star Game. I mean, how does it feel to be hosting the event, and what does it mean to yourself, the team, and the community?
It's big. It's, you know, I'm proud to have been asked to host it. It's something we wanted to do last year. It just didn't work out that way. There wasn't an All-Star game last year, so we approached management at the arena and minor hockey, and everybody was willing to work with us and help us out and change schedules and get us to be able to have it. It's going to be a big event. We're excited to host it. The boys on the team, even though most of them won't be playing, are super pumped to be a part of the event.
They'll be watching, you know. And, you know, the game itself has been amazing in years past. No doubt that Bancroft's going to be doing that, you know, properly as well. Any surprises you want to let the listeners know that they might be expecting should they, you know, come to Bancroft for the All-Star
festivities? They should just come to the game. It's going
to
be awesome. There's
two
games. Skills competition is going to be a blast. We're really looking forward to showing the town some great hockey.
I highly recommend anybody that has a chance to in January to go out to the GMHL All-Star Game in Bancroft. This has been an interview with Nanda Eastman. Nanda, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with
me. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nanda. I mean, and like you said, people should just be at the All-Star Game. It is going to be quite the event. I've gone to almost every All-Star Game since 2013. I don't think I've missed one. And this one, it should be no different. Honestly, the games are always exciting, and the skills competition is fun. Everybody being there, the camaraderie, and then just kind of the last time that GMs and owners get to talk to other GMs and owners before the trade deadline happens. And so it could be a real flurry of discussion and action at the trade deadline, and I encourage you all to be there. Once again, my name's JR. I was the host of this Inside the GMHL podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sharing and liking and subscribing to the pod. And I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you next Tuesday at the GMHL All-Star Game.